Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Nat Sound. Welcome to Nat's Nightly, sponsored by the District Sports Page and FederalBaseball.com. This is Patrick Reddington from Federal Baseball. I've got Dave Nichols from the District Sports Page and Doghouse from Federal Baseball on the line, coming to you after the Nationals' big 2-1 win over the Mets in Nationals Park. Dave, we'll start with you. Jordan Zimmermann, 8-0 in his last 11 starts in regular season to end the season last year. Nats 11-0 in those outings, 205, 235, 289 line against over the final 74 and two-thirds innings pitch last year. Gave up back-to-back-to-back singles in the second, one run there, but Zimmermann caught Curtis Granderson looking to leave him loaded in that inning, escaped that jam, threw a full-count slider to get Granderson, even though Granderson didn't agree with the call. 91 pitches total, one earned run and six innings pitched. Just more of the same. Jordan Zimmermann picks up where he left off at the end of last season.
Yeah, he really did. And, you know, that call against Granderson really was the turning point of the game. You know, if that's ball four, Granderson goes to first, and then you're opening up for David Wright and Lucas Duda. And, you know, who knows what could have happened there. But he got the call on that one. You know, this is the thing about Jordan Zimmermann is even when he doesn't have his best stuff, he's still really hard to hit. And we saw three ground ball singles turn into a run against him there. But you know, he bore down and got through it and ended up turning in a typical Jordan Zimmermann outing. You know, five hits, no walks, four strikeouts, nothing really hit hard against him. This is what the guy does. And he's just been a joy to watch his entire Nationals career. And, you know, if this is the last year we get to enjoy it, then we better enjoy every single one.
Oh, no.
It was one of the good ones.
Why'd you have to bring that up? Okay.
I imagine we'll be bringing it up every time he pitches.
Unfortunately,
thanks, Captain Buzzkill.
Doghouse, Matt Williams was asked about that slider to Granderson at the post-game press conference. He said he feels good about the pitch. As long as he throws it with conviction, then he's good. Granderson's a fastball hitter. They know that, so they went with the slider there. Another strong outing from Jordan Zimmermann and really impressive out-dueled Jacob DeGrom on the mound today. DeGrom put together a pretty nice outing himself.
Yeah, he's going to be an annoying, aggravating pitcher to watch for many years now. I'm not looking forward to having to face him however many three or four times a year that the Nats are going to be coming up against him until he hits free agency. It's always vexing when people in your division find great young talent like that, but I'm just glad that one of the Zimmermann boys was able to put some good wood on that fastball there and poke it over the fence. That was kind of what we needed tonight. This is, in a lot of ways, this was a repeat of opening day. You know, strong pitching performance, low scoring. There were a few more chances, certainly on the Nats side, and a few fewer on the Mets side this time around than there were on Monday. But the key turning point has to be the defensive emergence of Dan Uggla. when Desi lets him catch the pop-ups, he catches the pop-ups.
Dave, I know me and you were sitting side by side watching this one. I was really impressed with the movement on all of Jacob DeGrom's pitches, essentially. 9-6 last year, 2.69 ERA, 2.28, 2.88, 3.26 line against, really dominant stuff, and 140 and a third innings pitched. 2014 Rookie of the Year, but he grooved the 94-mile-an-hour 1-1 fastball to Ryan Zimmermann that Doghouse just mentioned, ended up in the left field seat. The two-run home run puts him up 2-0 early and ends up holding up for the winning run there, but impressive start from DeGrom.
It was. You know, that's the fun thing about our vantage in the press box there is that when somebody really gets a hold of one, it's very obvious. And Zimmermann really got a hold of that one tonight. It was nice to see the space really tear into one. But, yeah, DeGrom's a really tricky pitcher. I mean, you know, he's got he's not unlike Jordan Zimmermann where he survives principally on his fastball and then, throws a changeup just to keep guys off balance. But he spots the fastball. He throws it to all four quadrants. He's got command and control, and they're two completely separate ideals, as we've mentioned on the show before. But DeGrom's a good, young, strong pitcher. And really, the Mets have a couple of these guys. You know, we're going to see Matt Harvey in his return from Tommy John surgery. tomorrow afternoon against Steven Strasburg, which ought to be a really fun, you know, really fun game to watch. Obviously, they've got Nat Killer, Dylan G. You know, not one of these guys that has a ton of talent, but survives on what he's got and just vexes the Nats every time he throws against them. And you know, it's a shame that that Wheeler got hurt, so we won't see him this year. But the Mets really have put together a good, strong young pitching staff, and are probably going to be the Nats' biggest challenge for the next 2 or 3 years.
At Doghouse, you gave shout-outs, as the kids call them, to Dan Uggla's defense and Ryan Zimmerman's power. But what about Ryan Zimmerman on the other side of the ball? Diving play on a bunt by DeGrom, made a really sweet catch there. Made a nice backhand stab later in the game, tossed to the covering pitcher, seeing him looking real comfortable over there at first base, and came through with the offense, but really good with the glove today, too.
Yeah, both the pitching Zimmerman and the hitting Zimmerman brother did well today. And the hitter did well on the fielding. I mean, you know, if we're going to deride first base as a position that even Dimitri Young can play, I think that Zimmerman brings a little bit more to it. And we certainly saw a few good plays out of him today. Although I have to admit, I was worried earlier in the game when he kept making the three unassisted. You know, I'm thinking to myself, oh, my gosh, has his shoulder gotten so bad that he can't do an underhand flip to the pitcher anymore? And then we finally got a 3-1, and I was relieved to see that play. But, you know, it's just like watching him at the hot corner. You know, he comes in and gets that popped up butt. He makes a diving play to his right, for an out. He's going to be just as – well, not just as fun, but he's going to be almost as fun watching there at first base as he was watching him at third.
Yes, and luckily first base is an easy position to play. Callum Wash. But once they got Jordan Zimmerman out of the game tonight, Dave, Matt Williams said he threw 85 last time, so he's up to 91 when they pulled him. They just didn't want to go too much further with him than that. But get Craig Stammen lining up where you kind of expect him in the seventh, and then what some of us have been hoping for a few years now, Blake Treinen comes on in the eighth, two left-handed batters due up, but Matt Williams goes with him anyway. Really strong outing, got a few hard-hit balls, but he gets a double play to end the inning there, and I've wanted to see Blake Treinen in this role, if not in a closer's role, for about 2 years now to see what he can do with that 97-mile-an-hour bowling ball, as Matt Williams referred to it once, but really hard, sinking fastball. Doesn't necessarily have the secondary pitches, which is why I didn't think he was going to work out in a starting role, but I think Blake Treinen is kind of made for this role and put a hit hard, like I said, but a good outing by Treinen tonight.
Yeah, you and I share that opinion on Blake Treinen. Hey, he's got a big fastball. I mean, to this point in his career, he really hasn't been a particularly high K guy, but he's also been used primarily as a starter. I think in a one-inning situation, this is a guy who throws 96, 97, 98 miles an hour, that we're either going to see another tick higher on that fastball. He breaks a lot of bats, and I think this is a guy that the rare guy that is going to have a higher strikeout rate in the big leagues as opposed to as he has coming up through the minors. But I thought it was really interesting the way that Williams set his pen up tonight, going to Stammen there in the seventh inning. And he had Xavier Cedeño hot during that inning. And as you know, I remarked to you during as it was unfolding that he was probably going to use Cedeño against Curtis Granderson had Stammen not been able to get Flores at the bottom of the order and face the lefty to get out of that inning. And then the interesting thing was, you know, two of the first three hitters in that next inning were left-hander, so Williams would have been perfectly within his defensible right to either put in Cedeño, since he already had him hot, or get Matt Thornton up, who was supposed to be your lefty guy in the eighth inning, to face two out of three left-handed batters there at the top of the order with Granderson first and Duda hitting third, sandwiching David Wright. But he went to Treinen. So obviously Williams has a ton of confidence in Blake Treinen to get out left-handers as well as right-handers. And, you know, I think we saw the dawning of the new EIG eighth-inning guy for the Nats. It's going to be Blake Treinen come hell or high water, I think.
Doug, as this spring, Matt Williams talked a little bit about maybe going more with matchups. Tyler Clippard no longer there to dominate the eighth inning against left and right-handers. So you spoke often about possibly going with the matchups. I don't know if this is a case of not having all the weapons he thought he was going to have when he said that, but I think we're all on record here saying we'd rather see him matching up than having specific roles for guys in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings. But you like him going to Trinan there, and you like what you saw from Trinan?
I like what I saw from Trinan. I'm not entirely convinced. I see the potential for his use as a high leverage reliever, and certainly we saw some success out of him tonight. I'm a little bit worried about the absence of a secondary pitch. I'm a little bit worried about his command, but you know, at his best, he is Henry Rodriguez when he was on a good night. And he brought the heat tonight. He got a couple of foolish swings. He did get a couple of hard hit balls, and if that double play ball that came right back into his glove had been a little bit to either side, you know, he might have that good outing might have turned into a bad outing pretty quickly. But I certainly agree with the consensus of the group here that I like seeing matchups. I do not like specific roles unless the role is pitch in a tough situation, not pitch in this inning or that inning. Put your good relievers when you need to have a good reliever, not when it's a certain inning. But we'll see what Maddie ends up doing. I have a feeling that he seems like a guy who's comfortable with roles, and so in spite of him teasing us with matchups and getting us all excited about new bullpen management styles, he's probably going to end up with roles. And China may work out in it. You know, he certainly showed flashes tonight. And I know Mrs. Doghouse said when one of his pitches came in at 95, is that his changeup?
Speaking of filthy pitches, Dave, we were kind of giggling to ourselves watching Drew Storen out there, gets a nice call on the outside corner of the plate for strike two against Michael Kadire, then comes out there with just a comical slider, breaks it off, throws it to the same corner, drops it out of the air, though. Really nasty, filthy slider from Storen there. He dominates in the ninth inning. Might have been a little concerned about Storen coming into this, or at least I was. He didn't get a whole lot of work in the spring because he had a trouble with the hamate bone, had to get surgery on his left non-throwing hand, but looked a little shaky last time out against the Yankees, but really dominant outing by Storen tonight, and exactly what you want to see from that closer in the ninth inning.
Yeah, that was fun. You know, you mentioned the 82-mile-an-hour slider, and it was set up by a 94-mile-an-hour fastball that was, I think the pitch track kind of was flattered it a little bit. I thought it was 2 or 3 inches off the corner. Pitch track had it right on the outside corner. But that not only shows performance, it also shows a guy that's thinking his way through the inning because he gets the 94 on the black and goes right back with the slider right at the same spot that ends up 8 inches off the plate, making the hitter look stupid. So just a terrific outing by Storen. Storen's got all the talent in the world there. He really... previously in his career, he's been his own worst enemy. So hopefully he has gotten to the point where he trusts his stuff and he's going to go out there and use it to his advantage night in and night out. And that'll be a role that the Nats don't have to worry about this year with any luck.
So I guess really impressed tonight with Bryce Harper, not only 2 for 3 at the plate, went the other way with a pitch, fastball outside, I do believe, or I'm not sure what the pitch was, but went the other way with it, whatever it was. Went to left field for a single there, but I think more impressive was him showing off the arm in the outfield. Lucas Duda lined one into the corner, looked like a double off the bat. Harper got there and then just threw a one-hop strike right to second base. Duda didn't even get 2 feet past first base. And really seeing Matt Williams talk after the game about what a weapon they can have out there in right field with Bryce Harper's arm. That's why he's over there now with Jason Worth back in left field whenever he's able to return to the field. But nice to see Bryce Harper kind of putting things together with the bat so far in the first two games and showing off that arm.
No, Bryce Harper's defense tonight, I think, was a real treat, second maybe only to Ugla in terms of how it impressed me tonight.
You like Ugla.
There were a couple of sinking liners that he went pretty wide on and came in on that I thought were going to find the grass. You know, maybe it's used, and you know, I hate to speak ill of the injured, but maybe it's because I'm used to seeing Worth out there. But he was moving right. His roots were not perfect, but they were a little better than we've seen out of him before. And he was going and getting it. And you put that together with that big arm, I think we're going to see some plus defense out there in right field, and good for it. Because he's putting it together with the bat, apparently. Again, it's just the Mets. In spite of their good starters, we still can't let ourselves get too enthused about, you know, good performance here. But it's a nice start, and you know, knock wood, maybe we finally get the breakout year here. Sinatra could be the key.
Dave, it wouldn't be us if we didn't rain down a little gloom on everyone's parade after the first win of the season, but I'm having a hard time figuring out what's going on with Ian Desmond there. He's swinging at pitches off the plate. You see everyone throwing every sliders off the plate to him. He's chasing sliders, fastballs out there like it was 2009, 2010 again. Looks like he's scuffling. I'm not going to buy into the whole he's pressing because it's a contract year, because I think every one of these guys is pressing every day to make sure that they get what they deserve and get what they need contract-wise. But Desmond does look a little bit lost out there. I didn't like what I saw from him in spring, and two games in, he hasn't looked too great at the plate either.
Well, you know, Desmond's always been an over-effort guy, and this is certainly a case. I think we're seeing it earlier this year where he's pressing a little bit, trying to do too much. Obviously, we saw it on opening day where his own manager very politely called him overzealous, trying to go after that pop-up. So, you know, this is a thing where a lot of people are making a big to-do about Desmond leaves his game in Vieira for the first month of the season. You know, right now it's two games. I certainly don't want to pronounce him as struggling or slumping or pressing or whatever bon mot you want to use at this point. But, yeah, it's not great. You know, he hasn't hit anything solid yet. Like you said, he just waved at pitches there in his last two at-bats tonight. So, you know, let's give him a few more games here before we start running the guy out of town, because as we mentioned at the top of the show, you know, Desmond's one of these guys where this could very well be the last go-around with him. So, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt for a little while, and he's the only 2020 shortstop in the major league, so I'm going to give him the chance to get his bat going here.
Positive, Dave. What a way to end the show. That's all the time we have for tonight. The Nats win 2-1, even up the series. Like Dave mentioned before, Steven Strasburg against Matt Harvey tomorrow afternoon. That should be a great pitching matchup. I'm looking forward to seeing Harvey get back there on the mound, just like I'll be looking forward to see Wheeler get back there. I don't care what team they're on. I don't like seeing pitchers that good get hurt. So it'd be good to see Harvey get back out there and do his thing again. Nats Nightly is sponsored by the District Sports page and federalbaseball.com. Talk to you both of you guys tomorrow.
Go Nats.